Yerushalmi, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph. Shalosh Erotz L'Shvi'is. Eretz Yisrael can be divided into three parts that have different halachas as relates to Shvi'is. The first is, Kol Shech Zikul Oy L'Bavel, any land that the people who came back from Bavel, that is to say, in the time of Ezra, when they came back to the second base of Midrash, and that is Me'eretz Yisrael Ad Kisiv, within Eretz Yisrael, until a place called Kisiv, which is in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, close to the Mediterranean, Loi Nechav, Loi Nevad. That land completely has the dinim of Shvi'is, and Loi Nechav means is, there's two versions of, two explanations for how to explain it. You can't eat it. Either it means is if the time of beer passed, you can't eat that food. If beer wasn't done properly, you can't eat the food. Or Loi Nechav means is that if something started to grow during Shvi'is, that's halacha of Svichim. Those are the two versions of what it means that you can't eat it. These are the two things you might possibly not be able to eat during Shvi'is. Vloy Nevad, and you can't work the land in that part of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the strictest part of the Eretz Yisrael, is the part that the people coming back from Bavel took possession of. Kol Shech Ziku Oylem Mitzrayim, the part of Eretz Yisrael that the early Bavel did not take possession of, and only the early Mitzrayim, only the people coming out of Mitzrayim took possession, it's a larger piece of land, that is Mikziv. We have the Gimel here, but it's others, the other gears is with the Chav. So, Mikziv, Varhanar, Varhamona. And from Kziv, you make a line from Kziv to the Nahar Mitzrayim, that's in the southern part of Eretz Israel, also along the border of the Mediterranean. And in the northern direction, from Kziv until Amona, a city in the northern part, again close to the Mediterranean. So, in that strip that goes, so basically it's something going from Amona in the north to Kiziv, somewhat in the north, down to the Nahar Mitzrayim in the south. In that area, Nechal, there's no, you're allowed to eat it, meaning either the Isser of Svichin or the Isser to eat it if the beer does not apply. Avloi Nevad, but you're not allowed to work in that land on Shvi'is. And of course, there is a machlokes as to exactly how you draw the border from Kiziv to Amona and Kiziv to the Nahar. Do you draw it? Right, is it a straight line? Is it a line a little off the Yam? There's a question of how you draw that border. Min HaNohar, Machlok is in the contemporary Pesukim. Min HaNohar, Ulei Amona Ulefnim, if you go from the Nohar, the Ham Mitzrayim is on the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, or from Amona, which is in the north, a northern border, then from that part, Ulefnim, over here, Ulefnim means from there and beyond, meaning further away from Eretz Yisrael, Nechav and Nevan, you can eat it, there's no Isser of Svichin, and there's no Isser of after the beer. But Nevan, you can even work during Shvi'is, it's completely Chutzards, it's not Eretz Yisrael in any respect. So these are the three lands we have for Eretz Yisrael. So we verse like this. Ksit, we have a pasuk that says, Eile hachukim v'hamishpatim, asher tishpun lasos ba'aretz. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden that these are the mitzvahs that you have to do in the land that Hashem is going to give you. So we could deduce from there, ba'aretz etam chayim lasses, we have them chayim lasses b'chutzards. The mitzvahs have to be done in Eretz Yisrael, and don't have to be done in b'chutzards. The Gemara is trying to explain what the basis is for our Mishnah, which had said that things that are out of Eretz Yisrael don't have to be done in Shvi'is. So, adayin on oimim, we might still say, mitzvah shein tluyos ba'aretz, einon heges el ba'aretz. And based on that, we would say that the mitzvahs that are tluyos ba'aretz that have to do with the land are only applied in Eretz Yisrael. Yachal fil mitzvah she'en tluyos ba'aretz, lo yun hagas el ba'aretz. So you might think, based on this, that mitzvahs that are not tluyos ba'aretz, mitzvahs that have nothing to do with land, we're not going to say an example in a second about, wearing tefillin, it's not land-related, also shouldn't have to be done, because the pasuk doesn't say that mitzvahs are tluyos ba'aretz. The pasuk just says that mitzvahs have to be done when you're in Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk, this is a different pasuk which says to us, Hisham Ulchem, and we say this in Krishma, Hisham Ulchem Pen Yiftel Lauchem, the Torah tells us, warns us, don't go off the path that you're supposed to. Chor Ata Hashem Lachem, Hashem will get angry with you, and then it says, and he will kick you out of Eretz Yisrael. And then after that, after it said that Hashem will kick you out, it says, the sound of Israel, Alavachem, that you still have to put these things on your heart, and it tells you, talks about mitzvahs that you have to do. So that teaches you that afilu golem, the sabbath is the right ila al valchem yam avshechem. Even when you're in Golos, you have to do these mitzvahs. And Ma islach, so which mitzvahs that it means you have to do? So it says, Kikoyin Tfilin the Talmud Torah, which are the mitzvahs described at the end of Vahaya, in that parasha. So it teaches us that even when you aren't goals, they have to do the mitzvahs anyhow. So how do we understand the difference between one pasuk said we only do mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael? One pasuk said you do mitzvahs even the goals. So we say, Ma Tfilin the Talmud Torah, she'en employin ba'aretz, and ha'igim ben ba'aretz, ben chutzaretz. Just like in the pasuk which says to do mitzvahs even the chutzaretz, is specifically talking about Tfilin and Talmud Torah. So too, I've called Rav Shein, and those are mitzvahs that are not dependent on the land. Tefillin and Talmud Torah are not based on the land. I've called Rav Shein, told Ba'aretz, you know, Ba'aretz b'chutzaretz. Also, anything that's not land dependent goes in Eretzol and Chutzaretz. And therefore, from here we have we've worked out that the mitzvahs Hatluyos Ba'aretz are chayv only in Eretzol. The ones that are not Tefillin Ba'aretz are not chayv in Eretzol. And that's in fact the basis for our Mishnah that told us that there are certain places that don't have to do shvi'as, those places that are out of Eretz Yisrael. So now there is a different question related to this. So the drasha that said we have to do mitzvahs at Tluyos Ba'aretz said Hashem's going to give you this land and then you should do the mitzvahs. So the Gemara is mi'ato, mishigali yupatur. Once they were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, there should be pater, because the pasuk says, when you come, I will give you Eretz Yisrael, and then you have to do the mitzvahs. Once they get kicked out, that's over. They've been thrown out of the land that Hashem had given them. So even if they happen to make their way back there, but they're not in the land that Hashem had given them, they sort of found their own way back. So they should be part of the mitzvahs at Tluyos Ba'aretz. So the Gemara says, Ksiv, there's a pasuk that says, there's a pasuk in Ezra when the Yidden came back, all the Yidden who came back from being captives, did make sukkahs in the yontif of sukkahs, but Yeshua was sukkahs, and they sat in the sukkahs. Kilo also mimei Yeshua ben Nun. They hadn't done mitzvah like this one time Yeshua ben Nun. Okay, so now the Gemara digresses for a second. Says Lama of Yeshua. Why does it say Yeshua instead of Yehoshua, the way his name is really spelled? So the Gemara says Rabbi Hillel ben Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman says Pogam Akos of Kavod Hatzadik Bekever. The pasuk put down the tzaddik who is dead, that is Yeshua, like call them by not his full name, and they cover that tzaddik b'shatrei to rather instead give cover to the living tzaddik at that time, which was Ezra. So it told us it put him down in a certain way by calling him Yeshua. Okay, so now we go back to what we were saying, which is the Yidden did the mitzvah of sukkahs like they had not done from Yeshua. Now, obviously the Yidden did the mitzvah of sukkahs. They were many, many derivatives of Yidden who did all the mitzvahs exactly they were supposed to. So what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means to tell you, Hikish b'yasim b'nei Ezra, b'yasim b'nei Yeshua. It's coming to compare that the Yidden coming back now have a certain similarities to the Yidden coming back, to the Yidden who came to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time with Yeshua ben Nun. Ma b'yasim b'nei Yeshua p'turanayu v'neschayim. Just like the Yidden who were coming in the time of Yeshua ben Nun were putter from mitzvahs, not mitzvah sukkah, but mitzvah hatluyos, certain mitzvahs, the mitzvah hatluyos sukkahs they were putter from. Vinis chayv, and now when they walked into Eretz Yisrael, they became chayv. Af b'yasim b'nei Ezra, p'turim chayv v'nis chayv. Also, when the Yidden came with Ezra, there were mitzvahs that they were putter in, and they became chayv in it. And not mitzvah sukkahs, because sukkah is not mitzvah tovah b'aretz, but in other mitzvahs that they could become chayv when they get to Eretz Yisrael, they again became chayv. So to answer our question, how do we know that Yidden are chayv in mitzvahs when they come back to Eretz Yisrael? So we see from this drasha that they're chayv even when they come back. Now the Gemara is the question, why is it that they're chayv? Meaning, we made this drasha, we made this seeming hekesh as a chayv, but the question is that a chayv to rise up? Was that a chayv to rabban? Are they really chayv, or do they just choose to make themselves chayv? So we're going to have two opinions. So B'yesh Bechanina Omar, Mitra Turn is chayv. Rabbi Yeshua Bechanina says that the chayv midrash of that pasuk that says that compares coming back in the time of Ezra, coming back in the time of Yeshua, is reflective of a mitzvah derisa. How do we know the mitzvah derisa? The chasid says in the pasuk, talking about the Yidden after the pasuk had described the Yidden being thrown into the galut, and it says, "Beviach Hashem lekechal arches Yosher v'zechav Yerushta." Hashem will bring you back to the land that your fathers had inherited, and you will also inherit it. Hikish Yerushascha Yerushas v'zechav. The Torah is telling you that to compare your inheritance, taking control of the land, to the way your fathers did. My Yerushas v'zechav midrash Torah, just like when your fathers took control of Eretz Yisrael, they were chayv midrash, because that was the time when Hashem gave them land more directly in the way he had intended to, and they b'chayv mitzvahs. Av Yerushalsha mitzvah Torah. Also, when you do the mitzvahs by yourself, when you take over the land of Israel by yourself, you're also chayv in mitzvahs. Hatzlis v'aretz midrasa. And what is the end of the pasuk says? Ve'hitivcha v'hir b'chami amasecha. And things will be better for you and grander for you than it was for your fathers. And that means to say like this. Your fathers were potter from mitzvah plus bar until they came in, and now they became chayiv. And you similarly were potter before you came to Eretz Yisrael, and now you became chayiv. But your fathers didn't have on them any outside controlling government over them. Even though you have someone in control of you, you're still considered to be living in Eretz Yisrael and in charge, and therefore you're chayiv in mitzvah tlus baritz. Avisechem lois chayiv el acherbo esrei shana. Your fathers did not become chayiv in the mitzvah tlus baritz until they had been there for 14 years. Seven years to capture it, and 7 years to divide it out to the shvatim and individual people. Once you came into Eretz Yisrael, once the Yidden came back with Ezra, they were chayiv in the mitzvah tlus baritz right away. Lastly, Avisechem lois chayiv l'achor shakonu kula. Your fathers were not chayiv in Eretz Yisrael until in the midst of Tzuris Bar, until they had captured all of Eretz Yisrael. Of Atam, Rishon Rishon Koyin Umischayiv. Every Yid who comes back with Ezra, as soon as he took control of a piece of land, he's chayiv in the midst of Tzuris Bar on that piece of land, even though all of Eretz Yisrael hasn't been taken of yet. So that was the first sheet of Rabbi Yosher Bachanina, who says that when the Yidden come back to Eretz Yisrael when they come back from Golos, the chayim in mitzvahs atzuris bar midrasa. And Rabbi Yisrael says, no, me'alein kibla alein mitzvah ma'isra. The Yidden will makabla on themselves to do the mitzvahs atzuris bar like ma'isra, but really midrasa they're not mechuyev. Matam, what's the reason? Or it really means this, how do I know that that's true? He says, because there's a pasuk also in Ezra that says, v'chol zois anachnu korsim amona, and with all this we are making a bris of them, you know, like of showing our trust in Hashem, the question, and we're going to write it down. This decision that we made. Excuse me. And sign onto this document of us accepting upon ourselves the Amun of Hashem. Excuse me. Onto that is signed Sarenu Livienu V'Chayaninu, our leaders in the Kehanim. So that pasuk says that the Yidden accepted it upon, and the Pesukim continue to say that they're gonna, not only they accept upon themselves Amana, but they're also accepting upon themselves to do the mitzvahs of Bechor, and, as we're gonna see in a second, the Pesukim say that they accept upon themselves to do the other, maestros and things like that. So you see that it was their decision to do those mitzvahs, but they weren't mechuyev to do it. It was their own choice to do that. So, the Gemara says now, wait a second. One of the things that they chose to make themselves chayiv in, as we see in those psukim, is to be chayiv in the mitzvah of bechor for animals. Well, bechor for an animal is chayiv, it's not a mitzvah tal bar, it's not dependent on the land, an animal is not land dependent. So you're chayiv in the mitzvah of bechor even adamant as well. So if the pasuk is describing what they took upon themselves voluntarily, which is what it implies, then why does it say they took upon themselves the mitzvah of bechor? So the Gemara says, the answer is, Mekivan shekibla alein dvarm shalahayu chayam alein, since they accept upon themselves certain mitzvahs that they weren't hired to do, that is to say, the trumas and maestros, and the other mitzvahs absolutely barits, then therefore, afil dvarm shalahayu chayam alein, hel alein, hamakim kiilu me'alein, kibla alein. So the things that they were mechuyev to do, that they had, like, the Hashem makes it as if they chose to do it voluntarily, which is an advantage, like a person saying, I want to do the mitzvahs, either mechuyev to do those, but since they showed a willingness to take upon themselves mitzvahs that they weren't chayiv in, they also got credit for the mitzvahs that they were chayiv to do, as if they had chosen to do them voluntarily. Okay, so Frek Gemara. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, who said that midaraisi mechuyev in mitzvah tzuris baritz, how does he understand these psukim that said that the Yidden chose to do it voluntarily? So he says a similar answer to what we just said, which is Mekiv and Shekib Alei Mesheir upon Yafos. Since they agreed, they made this with a positive face, they had happily chose to do the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, which they were required to do, but they showed such a happiness to do that mitzvah. Hel Alem, Akasav Kivim Alem, Kiv Alem. The pasuk considers it as if they chose to do it by themselves because they had made such a positive decision to do it. Okay, so we have a question. We had said before in a pasuk of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, that v'hetivcha v'shirbucha mi'avasecha, it's going to be, when the Eden come back to Eretz Yisrael, things will be better than how they had it for their fathers. And the Gemara had explained that means is they're mechuyev mitzvahs in a stronger way than their fathers were. So how will he understand that? He thinks it's only mitzvah. So the Gemara says, pasalol asad lovely. He agrees that the pasuk means they're chayev mitzvahs, but not when the Eden come back at any point, like for the second base. It's only asad lovely in times of Mashiach. At that point, the Mechayev Mitzvahs, even Rabbi Elazar will agree that the Mechayev Mitzvahs have police barret. The Amr Reb Chelboi says, Shimon Bar Bo, Shimon Merchan, and says, Avasecho Yoshu Eretz Shoshos Amu. He understands the Pasuk to mean is, your fathers inherited and took over the land of the seven nations, Vatamasid Lirish Eretz Shal Eser Amu. And you're going to have the land of ten nations. So when it says, you're going to have more than your fathers, it means is you're going to have 10 nations. The Yidden will be in control of the 10 nations of Eretz Yisrael rather than just 7 of them. And that, of course, did not happen in the second base of Yiddish. That's something that's described when Mashiach comes, that the Yidden will have control over an even bigger part of Eretz Yisrael than the Oilim Mitzrayim had. And therefore, when that happens, the Yidden will be chayiv in the midst of three parts of the Raisa. But for now, they're only chayiv in the Midrabanan. And so, one of those extra lands, so the Gemara says, Tasichu Naisa Ilin Inun, one of those three extra lands or countries that they are going to get when Mashiach comes. So the Gemara says, it means it's a Kenyan, the Psukim that we mentioned, to Avram Avinu, I believe it's Avram Avinu, Pasuk and Bereishis, that they can get these lands, the Kenyan, Kenyan, and Kenyan, which they did not inherit when they came to Yeshua. Now the Gemara is going to say a few versions of what are those nations? What are Keni, Knezi, and Kenani? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aravia, Shalmi, and Niftia. He says it's those three countries. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Asia, Vaspami, and Damesek. He says these other three countries are Lezer, and Yaakov Omer, Asia, Vekartigni, Turkey, and Rabbi Omer, Edom, Umoyev, Relations, Bnei Amon. So, different explanations as to what those lands are, which seemingly is not just an explanation for the pasuk. Not only do we need to know what they are just to understand what are Keni, Knezi, and Kenani, but according to Blazer, when the Yidden will inherit those lands, that will be sort of a sign that we've now come to the point that we're chayiv mitzvahs midraisa. Okay, now we say this mi'avisecha. It'll be better than your fathers had. Avisecha avapi shenigalu chazur v'nishtabdu. Your fathers had they were redeemed. That is, they came back for the second base. That wasn't permanent. They went back into Golos eventually. But you, when it comes the time of Mashiach, which Atem the Golem, Oy Ein Atem Nishtabim. Once you are redeemed, you will not go back into Golos. Matam. What's the reason? How do we know that you won't go back into Golos? So we say this based on a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and the pasuk says Shalom Aru Im Yulad Zachar. Go out and see Im Yulad Zachar. Go out and see if there's such a thing that a man, a male, could give birth. Of course, that can't be. We say, Kashem Shein HaZocha Yerlid, just like everybody knows that a man can't give birth, Kach Ein Atem Mishtav Nigolim, Oid Ein Atem Mishtav, and once you come back, you're Nigol, and come to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to go back into Golos. And that's a description, not of the second Mishmigdash, because they did go back into Golos, but it's a description of when Mashiach is going to come. They're going to have a full gula, and they will never go back into Golos, so that will be better than their fathers. Okay, now the Gemara says this. We had mentioned that Kiziv is a certain place towards the north of Eretz Yisrael that has to do with the borders. It's a sort of a border between where the Oilim Mitzrayim, between the Oilim Bavel were living in, and the Oilim Mitzrayim. So now, Hamahalach mi'akir lechziv. Or some have the gears of Le'achziv, but it's the same place. Me'akir Le'chziv. If a person walks from Akir Le'chziv, Akir is a little south of Kziv. If a person walks from Akir to Kziv, so he's walking from south to north, Me'eminoi, Le'mizr Chaderach, on his right, which would be the east of the road, okay, he's walking from south to north, so his right is on the east, Tohar Mishim Eretz Amim, that land is Tohar from Eretz Amim. The Rabbanan made a tumma on Eretz on Chutz Arutz. So this place is not doesn't have that tumma because it is Eretz Yisrael. That land is chayav b'maisus uber shvius. That's considered chayav b'maisus shvius, and that's because, well, we'll see a little more in a second, but that's because this road from Akka to Chsiv, that road is a border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. So if you go to the right of that border, you're in Eretz Yisrael. If you go to the west, then you're closer to the Mediterranean, and that's out of Eretz Yisrael. That's how you should assume that anything to your right is high, it's considered Eretz Yisrael. Unless someone who understands the borders very carefully and knows it very exactly will tell you that you're potter, meaning it could be that the road you're taking somewhat veered to the west, so that the things to your right are out of Eretz Yisrael. It could be you veered off the direct path, or the path that is the border. So you can assume that everything to your right is Eretz Yisrael, unless someone tells you that you're not on the real border and you veered off to the west, in which case things on your right might still be Chutz Laaretz. Mismoiloi, on your left, which is Lamayr Fader, which is on the west of the road, Tamei Mishum Eretz Amim, that land is considered to be Tamei, because it's Chutz Laaretz. Upatur Min HaMaisas Min HaShviyas, there's no mitzvah of Maisas and Shviyas in that place. Achi Yisrael Bilchor Shehi Chayevet, excuse me, until someone tells you that you're chayiv, which is to say, it could be that you're taking veered to the east off of the route, in which case what's on your left and on your west might still be an Eretz Yisrael. You may not be walking right on that border, you might be walking more to the east, in which case the things that are on your left or on your west are chayiv and shumas and maizes, because they're still part of Eretz Yisrael. And all this is true until you get to chziv, and Rabbi Yosef, Bishamav Av, Livloy or Livlab, the different gershes, until you get to a different city, not the city of Kaziv, and only this rule of right and left only applies until that other city. Now, this Yerushalmi we just read it is the gersha from the Yerushalmi. The Bavli has exactly the opposite gersha, that what's on the right as you walk up on the east is Chutz Laaretz, and what's on the left is Eretz Yisrael. This is the exact gersha, but our gersha is that what's on the right to the east of this walkway is Eretz Yisrael, and what's on the left, or the west, is Chutz Laaretz. Okay, so now that you're showing me, another question. Akkoi Atzmai. Atzmai, this land of Akkoi, this city of Akkoi, which is from there to Chzir, has this rule. What about Akkoi itself? Mahi. What's it in? Is Akkoi Eretz Yisrael, or is it not Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Akkoi Yachka B'Shem Rabbi Imi Min Tarin, B'Shem Rabbi Imi, Rabbi Akkoi Yachka says in the name of Imi, Min Train Uv Doi, the Rebbe, from two stories that we're about to say over from Rebbe, on Yalfa, we can learn out that Akkoi Yesh Beretz Yisrael V'Yesh B'Chutz Laaretz. In Akkoi itself, part of Akkoi is Eretz Yisrael, and part of it is Chutz Laaretz. What is it? So we're going to say now two stories about Rebbe. Rebbe having Ba'akkoi. Rebbe was once in Akkoi. Chamsun Ochlon Pita Nikia. He saw people eating white of fine bread, and that was, it was obvious that he was eating a bread that was so fine, they had done lesisim. It's something you do to flour before you grind it. You soak it in a certain way that helps it. But when you then grind it later, the bran comes off more cleanly, and the flour comes out more fine and more white. So he could tell by the fact that the bread was so fine, so white, that they had obviously done the sisam. So he said, "Amalai ma'atumasin." He said, "How did you do lesisa? Lesisa requires water. Well, if you put it into water, then you're supposed to eat things betahara. You're not supposed to let things become tummy." And he was suspicious that these people had done it in a way. Once the grains get wet, they can become tummy. In other words, you have to be careful once you make it wet. So he said, "How did you people do lesisa? What did you do with it?" So that is to say, before we continue the story, that he was treating them as if they were Eretz Yisrael. So the things are chayav and trumas and maizos, they're not supposed to become tummy, and you're supposed to eat a betahara. So the fact that he even asked these questions showed that he considered Akkoi to be part of Eretz Yisrael. That's our first story. We're going to describe much more about it, but that's from our first story that we see that he considered Akkoi to be Eretz Yisrael. Amulai, so he said to him, "How did you do it?" Amulai, so they said to Rebbe, "Talmud Echad Balakan, our Talmud once came here, Bohiram, he taught us, Amei Beitzim, a Nashirim, that the water of eggs is not Machshel Kapitum, it doesn't, when in order for something to become tummy, something that grows on the ground to become tummy, it needs to have become wet once it was off the ground, and it had to become wet with one of seven specific liquids, and once it became wet from one of those seven liquids, afterwards it can become tummy." So they said, this Talmud taught us that if it becomes wet from the water of eggs, it's not Puchshul Kaptum, it's not ready for becoming tummy, and therefore we, so sovereign member, so we accepted what he said, so what we do is we understood him to mean the following, and what we did was we cooked eggs for lasin b'me'ehin, and then we do lasisa to our grains with the water in which eggs were cooked. They put up a pot of water and they cook hard-boiled eggs in it, and they take that water and we use that water for lasisa, sovereign member. And we thought he meant mei shalak shabayim, water in which eggs had been cooked. That's the water that's not called shalak kapatoma. That's not true. That's a mistake. The Lord Amar, really the truth what he said was, ella mei beitzim atzman. He really meant was the liquid of eggs, the actual liquid part of the egg. The egg, if you crack open a raw egg, that liquid part is not... it's not considered a liquid to be machshav things kapha tuma. So they mistakenly thought that they could do lasisa with water in which an egg had been cooked, and it was a mistake. That's really not correct. Rabbi Yachar Edi said, from that point when they realized that there were people telling over halachas that were not being clear about what they were trying to say, they made a takana, so yet Talmud Mar Haror, a Talmud should not pass kinshilas unless his Rebbe gave him permission and tells him he's not a Talmud anymore. But as long as he's a Talmud, he should not be giving over halachas until the Rebbe can approve him as someone who, when he says something over, would be clear, such as this Talmud who said something about Mei Beim, and he wasn't clear what he meant, and they misunderstood him, and therefore we're not careful about Tumah V'Tahara because of that. Okay, so again, we'll talk more about this, we'll continue talking about this, but the point was, Rebbe treated Akli as if part of Eretz Yisrael. So here, B'Shem Rav Huna said, Talmud Shahara, Afil Kalocha, Ein Haros Harah. Furthermore, not only are you not supposed to give Harah, the Talmud not supposed to say Halacha, but if he does it, it doesn't count. Tani, Tani, we learned in the Bible, Talmud Shahara, Halacha, Fli Rabbi Chayim Misa. A Talmud who says a halacha over in front of his Rebbe without permission, he's chayiv misur. He deserves death. That's the reason why another man of Avihu were chayiv misur at the days of the Hakamas of Mishkan, because they heard a halacha. The Mepharshim say the halacha they said was that even at the in the Beis Hamikdash, a fire comes down from Shemayim. And they said, that's true, a fire comes down, but we're mechuyev to bring our own fire. And they were actually correct about that the Kohanim are required to bring a fire to the Mizbeach. But the fact that they made that decision, and they paskin like that, when Moshe Rabbeinu was around, and they hadn't been given permission, therefore they deserved to die. Now, Maisim B'Talmud Echad, Shahar L'Fnei Rabbi, so once it happened that a Talmud said over the halacha in front of L'Fnei Rabbi, Amar, so Beleza said, Le'ima Shalom Ishtar, to his wife, whose name is Ima Shalom, and yet to Shinasai or Shabbat, there's different curses here. He's not going to live through either Shabbos or the year, or maybe some day for 7 years. He's not going to live for very long. In fact, that's what happened. He didn't make it through that amount of time before he died. So the Talmud said, wow, you must be a Navi. How do you know he's going to die? I'm ahead. He said to them, no. But Navi Anachi, Ben Navi Anachi, I'm not a Navi, or the son of a Navi, Al-Kachan, I'm a Kubal. This I've learned, Shakol Talmud, Hamar, Halacha, of the Rabbi, Chayiv Misa, any Talmud who rules in front of his Rebbe is Chayiv Misa. This Talmud who had made this ruling was there for Chayiv Misa, and I knew he was not going to live. Also, the Talmud Bahar is halacha of the Rabbi. Actually, Rachel Bernstein was a mil kamachan Yisrael. The Talmud can't say over halacha unless he's 12 mil away from his Rebbe. A mil is approximately 2/3 of a mile, about a kilometer. Umatam, how do we come up with that amount that they have to be a mil away? Because it says, Vayachanu al Yardin, Mibes Hashimos Adol Hashitim, the Yidden camp from Beis Hayeshimas until Avla Hashitim is. And the Kamehashim, as we know that those are 12 mil, and we know that Moshe Rabbeinu would stay out of the Machane, and Moshe Rabbeinu stayed out of the Machane, and if you wanted to ask a shayla, you had to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, which is to say that anybody in the Machane could not pass a shayla. But how big was the Machane? Machane Yisrael was 12 mil, as we see from this place where the Torah describes how the space it was in. So we see from there that a Talmud cannot, that you can't pass a shayla if your Rebbe is within 12 mil. And similar to that is that we see that, like the Lotzokadot of Tamchon Bar Chia, have a Bechaver. Reb Tacha Bechaver was in this place called Chaver. V'hav in Shalom Leibu Humayra. People asked him travels and he would rule for them. Amulei, so people said to him, you know, wait a second. Well, it came ill from Rebbe. Sh'asal tamu l'horos halacha from the rabbi at Sheiroch and Menesh Neim Yisrimo. Kamach and Yisrael. Didn't you tell us that you're now to pass in the Shaila if your Rebbe's a man within 12? No. V'hav Ramana Rabba. Yes, it's Tziporin. The man of your Rebbe is in Tziporin, which is within 12 mil from here. I'm alone. So he said to them, "Yes, you like it should come upon me." Like he like cursed himself. You know, bad things happened to me. The Lord dies. Minahi shaita. The Lord dies. I didn't know that he was so close. Minahi shaita. From then on, he did not pass him because his Rebbe was within 12 mil. Okay, so that was our first story that showed that Rebbe held that Akai is Eretz Yisrael. And the second story is that Rebbe had the Akai. Rebbe was once an Akai. Chom Achad Barnash. He went to a person, Solitan Kifsa Ulel. He was going from Kifsa and beyond. He was walked past a certain part of town. Amalei, Les Ad Braid Plon Kahana. Aren't you the son of this and this person, Plon like Pliny? Aren't you the son of this and this person who's a Kayin? So, why have a Ruch Kayin? Wasn't your father a Kayin? And so his question was, why are you going to the chutz? To chutz arutz, the kain is now the chamir takana. That certain parts of the chutz arutz has tumah to it. You're a kain and not allowed to go into there. So what are you doing going into there? Mamalei. So the person responded back to Rebbe. Einam shel abo hayikavoyis. My father had like high eyes and he was looking beyond what he should have. The nasa isha sheina. Yeah, it's like he married a lady he wasn't supposed to, a grusha. And therefore, the chilas ish, so he caused that person, meaning himself, to become a chalal, and I therefore do not have the dinim of a kohen. So it's true that my father was a kohen, but I'm not a kohen, and therefore I'm allowed to walk here. But we see from the second story is that there were parts of Akka that were not Eretz Yisrael, because here was this person who Rebbe questioned why was he walking to this place if it's out of Eretz Yisrael. So between these two stories, we see that there are parts of Akka that are Eretz Yisrael and parts that are not Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalmi continues, Tchumi Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, is Kosh Echziku Oile Bavel. As it said in our Mishnah, there are certain parts of it, the only, so to speak, real parts of Eretz Yisrael, the ones that are captured by Oile Bavel. And now the Gemara, this Brisa, is going to explain what the borders are with the Oile Bavel captured. And these cities, the way the Farshim explained is, are now going to mention border cities, starting from the northwest part of Eretz Yisrael, wrapping all the way around till the southwest. Okay, and these are supposed to be roughly border cities. And they are Migdal, Shid, Veshina, Dror, Veshur, the Akai, the road, the line going up to Akai, Ukatsiria, the Galila, the Kvrasa, Ubesenisa, the Kuvia, Umilsa, the Khir, Boyer Rabasa. Boyer Rabasa means there are two places called Beer, and this is the bigger one. Tafnes, Sampasa, Machata, Tiatir, Umamchi Davasa, Rosh Megasin, the Gasin Atzmai, these two places, Gasin itself and Rosh Megasin, Meisvar, Macheshes, and Meidachrov, Ulum Rabasa, or Elum Rabasa, also another place that had two cities with the same name. It's the large one, Venukus of the Yun. Vitukra, Birkaraba, Upar Sangida, Vitangola, Ilo, Tulman and Kisrin, the place called Tarnagola, it's the upper one, which is above Kesarin. Viturkina, Dimitram Labutsra, and Turkina, which that its border head gets all the way till Butsra, Umelch Dizakia, Venimrin, Beisaka, Vikanas, Ravich, the Higra, Viterchagdor, Lechas Midbar, and the long border that heads down towards the Midbar, Cheshbon, Viavka, Venachla, Venachla de Zered, Vigad Sadusa, Varekum de Gua, Viganya de Ashkelon. The last place is the gardens of Ashkelon, which is in the south. Ashkelon is in the southwest of Eretz Yisrael, and so the gardens of Ashkelon are included in what's Oile Bavel. Okay, so we have this long list of names. As you can imagine, the Mefarshim try to explain what those places are and connect them to places in modern times. But anyhow, all these places that the Oile Bavel were captured, and they defined the borders of Eretz Yisrael for us. So, for example, Ashkelon Atzma, what's the din about Ashkelon itself? We mentioned the gardens of Ashkelon. What about Ashkelon itself? So the Yerushalmi says, first it says like this, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, B'shem Rabbi Zeris, says, Min Modetani Ganya Da Ashkelon, the fact that it says the gardens of Ashkelon, Hada Amun Ashkelon Kilchutz, so that implies that only the gardens of Ashkelon are included, but Ashkelon itself is out, is considered Chutzarot, was not captured by the Oile Bavel. So that's the first day that Ashkelon is not Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shimon b'shem Chilfi to Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yosi ben Akvar say Nimlo Avir Ashkelon v'Tiavru. They said that the air of Ashkelon is tar. That is to say, the land of earth of Chutz La'aretz has a din d'rabbanan and has tum on it. And so they said first Chacham asr the land, and a later gzeir was to asr the air of Chutz La'aretz also. So in this place in Ashkelon, they decided that only the land should be tummy, not the second step to make the air tummy also. So it's similar to the last shita in that Ashkelon is considered chutz la'aretz, but just with this one little caveat that only the land of Ashkelon is chutz la'aretz and not the, has the tumah to it, but not the air. But now the pure Pinchas ben Yerush Amar, but from Pinchas ben Yerush they said Yerdan Yinul Sidki Shal Ashkelon. We used to go down to this market in Ashkelon, the Lachin Chita, we would buy a wheat, the oil, Ivenu, we go back up to our city in the main part of it, the Tarbun of Ochim Chuma Senu, and we'd eat our Chuma. And the Mepharshim explained, based on the way he described what they did, that the fact that he had to be Tarbun had nothing to do with Chutz La'aretz, that just being Tarbun in the Mikvah wouldn't have been enough for Chutz La'aretz. He was being Tarbun for another reason, which is not relevant to us. So you see that the fact that they would go there would shows that they considered it to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Not like we had been saying until now that it's Chutz La'aretz. So Lamachar Nimnu Allah Lepachim and Amaisis. So the people who had been mentioned earlier got together to make a vote that everyone should paskin that Ashkelon is out of Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, to say not like a Pinchas ben Yair. So Moshe Chabishar Rabbi Yosi is Yadav. Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was one of the people we had mentioned earlier who said that it's Chutz La'aretz. He held his hand back and he did not vote with this. Shayim Mistamacha Ben Hakfar. He really was going, would have gone along with Ben Hakfar, which is what he had been mentioned together with him before. And Amaloy Bini, he said to Ben Akvar, Lamo Emartel Bene Mabashachtes Yotchum. How come you didn't ask me? You should have asked me why I didn't vote with you. If you would have asked me, I would have told you. Esmo Anu Hushati Nesi, Anu Hushati Hati. The fact that we could have disagreements, and I could even maybe change my mind as to whether it's Tahar or Tameh, whether it's considered Chutz La'aretz or not Chutz La'aretz, that's a Din D'Rabbanan, and that I could go along with what everyone seems to say that it's Chutz La'aretz. But the Achshav Ani Omer, but as far as today's vote, which is Eretz Chayim and Truma Semaisis, Shema Nichbisha Midvar Torah, maybe it was captured by the early Mitzrayim, and maybe that some people paskin, we had had in the Gemara beforehand, that some people say that whatever was captured by the early Mitzrayim is Chayim and Truma Semaisis, but from the early Bava, when the early Bava recaptured it. So what we're not, according to that, what we're talking about here is a shayla of a deraisa, because it could be if the early Bavel captured it, then it would be chayim and shumas meisus mideraisa, according to one of those shitas beforehand. So the hechani pachim midrater. So I'm not so confident that it's really potter, that it's really chutz la'aretz, that it was not captured by the early Bavel, to say that it should be potter from shumas meisus. So all I said was that it's not, doesn't have the tumah of, that it has the tumah of chutz la'aretz, because that's a drabonon, and I could even possibly change my mind on that. That's a drabonon. But for this, I'm not ready to go along with the suggestion today and vote that it should be considered pater from Shumas Amaisis. Okay, so they go and says, Amasai Heat Tamea. Now that they had decided that Ashkelon is chutz la'aretz, we learned this Gemara now, right? Like the Mara Fulda, the Gemara has a different version of what's going on here. But so when should we say that Ashkelon has a din of chutz la'aretz and the emesai hitzvei mishim eretz amim? When did they get the tumah of eretz amim? In other words, it was this question, and they've now like settled it that it's considered chutz la'aretz. So at what point? How long? When should we apply that halacha and say that it's tamei? Amrav Siman. Rav Siman says mishet tisha hagzera b'yam. You have to wait for the gzera to be out 40 days, and the reason being, the way the Ma'afoldo learns is that when the Chacham make Gzera, they give time for people to comment on it or to bring up challenges to it. So we're going to let it sit for 40 days. After that point, it'll be accepted that Ashkelon is Chutz La'aretz, and at that point, it'll have the Tumah of Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so that's how the Ma'afoldo learns. Again, the Gro and many others learn differently. That the Shaila here is about a tumah of even though they learned that it's going according to Manem, that it is Eretz Yisrael, and the Tumah here is a Tumah of a guy's house within Eretz Yisrael, completely different shot. Anyhow, so we'll learn about the Mount folder. Amar Rabbi Yirmi says, V'lovatars on the Machzikin, he says, what do you expect? You expect someone to come and challenge what we said, and say that it's Eretz Yisrael? We know that. We know who's going to do that. Rabbi Pichas Ben Yair already told us that he thinks it's Eretz Yisrael. We already heard that from his story. So what? But we think he's a mistake. V'lo b'tarish on the Machzikin. We know that he's mistaken. And not only that, we have a deek from our Brisa, not like Rabbi Pichas Ben Yair. So the fact that all the people who come to challenge it, it's just true. Somebody might come, Rabbi Pichas Ben Yair himself might come to challenge it, but that means nothing. We know that it's wrong. We've already decided we're not bothered by that challenge. The Gzer shouldn't take 40 days for it to be chal. It's going to happen right away because we know the challenges that come. We don't think that they're correct. And so just go on with life. Just make the tekun right away. So that's what Yirmiyah said. No, we should do it right away. So Amar Ramana is now going to defend what Rabbi Simon had said. Rabbi Simon had said we should wait 40 days. So Ramana says, Loi kein Amar B'yachar B'yakov. Wait a second. Didn't we have a deed that Rachab Yaakov said, B'shem Rabbi Zira, that Minmad Tani Ganya da Ashkelon Hada Am Ashkelon Cholchutz? Remember, the Gemara had made a deed that if a list of lands from early Babel only has Ganya da Ashkelon, the gardens of Ashkelon, that means that Ashkelon itself is out. So, if so, we have a deed in the Baisa that Ashkelon is in Chutzarns. So, what's the reason why we're taking a vote whether Ashkelon is in Eretz Yisrael or out of Eretz Yisrael? What's the reason for that? We don't need a vote when we have a deed from a Baisa like that. Why, in fact, did we talk about that as an alibi? The reason is because there's another reason to think about it. We think it could be that it's Chayiv in Trumas and Maisas, even though it's in Chutzarns. Why? V'chi Tzur ain't also in Chutzarns. There's another city called Tzur that's in the north of Eretz Yisrael. That it's usher to go there because we're concerned that it might be chutz art, but hakoinasham, someone who buys ena mischayev, someone who buys things here, it's, I'm not sure why it says ena mischayev, but I'm sorry, it's a question. Hakoinasham ena mischayev, a person who buys fruits and vegetables there, isn't he chayev in trumas or maishas? In other words, we have this city called Tzur, which we say it's considered chutz arts, we're machmir to treat it like chutz arts. We're also machmir to treat it like Eretz Yisrael. We say you have to take trumas and maasos, but you also can't go there because the Marfold explains that it's a suffix, whether it's Eretz Yisrael or chutz arts. So the Tizbar, you shouldn't think the Tizbar Maimar, of Ha'acha came, maybe you should say that Ashkelon is also like that, that Ashkelon maybe is also a suffix if it's in Eretz Yisrael, out of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to go there because of the tum of maybe it's two of chutzard, but you also just mechayiv in trumas and maishes. So therefore, if you could have the punch of maishes, so we needed a vote to say that it's potter from maishes. So that is to say, the Ramana is saying is the reason why they had a vote about being potter from maishes is not because we think that maybe it's really confident that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. That we wouldn't have any challenges for Pirkas Ben Yair, and we wouldn't be worried about that. But it is possible that it could be considered chutz arutz, yet it could still be chayav in trumas and maasos misafik, just like tzur. So therefore, when the Chacham made this vote, it said that it's considered chutz arutz and it's potter from maasos, that's something that's, so to speak, a new takana, and that needs 40 days for people to have a chance to comment on it before it goes completely into effect. Okay, so that's the machlok, is whether it should take 40 days or not. Now the Yisham says this, Reb Simon Bar Bavo, Havi Yisivin, they were sitting, and they said, Amar, and he said, or Amri, other years of that, they said, Hakseva Yilkud Yehudis Azavas Gula. When the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael in the time of the early Mitzrayim with Yehoshua, they captured Aza, we're going to see in the Pasuk, and Ashkelon, they captured this place. They captured Aza, which is more south than Ashkelon. So if they captured it, then the Mepharshim explained, they captured these places. When Ezra came back with the early Bavel, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, they captured exactly the same way as the early Mitzrayim had captured. The only parts that they didn't capture were in the northern parts. That's one version. Or it says by Ezra that they lived in all Ari Yehuda. So any place that had been captured by the early Mitzrayim in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, we know was captured by the early Bavel also. So we have a pasuk that the early Mitzrayim captured Aza and its border. So therefore, that should mean that they should have captured Ashkenazim, most of them lazy Aza. According to Mar Fulton, it means is when it says they captured Aza, the Eskvula, it means is Aza with the border of Aza. They actually didn't get to Aza, so they only got to the. They only got to the border, so as Aza the Eskavula really means the border of Aza, but they didn't actually get to Aza. So Yerushalayim says, really, but the pasuk continues and it says they captured Ashkelon Eskavula. They captured Ashkelon and its border also. The Moshe says, no, same answer, lazy Ashkelon. They didn't capture the actual city of Ashkelon, they captured just the border of Ashkelon. Now, the Chaim Kinsky learned this a little differently. He learned that the word lazy Aza means a different Aza, or a different Ashkelon. In fact, Yerushalayim, wait a second. That's fine for the beginning of the pasuk that they captured Aza and Eskavula, that's Ashkelon and Eskavula. But there's a different pasuk that says, Me'ata, Hohain, Hohan, Nacha Mitzrayim, Lacey Nacha Mitzrayim. There's another pasuk that they said they captured Ashdod and Aza. That first pasuk was in Shmuel, but there's a pasuk in Shmuel that said they captured Ashdod and Aza, and all the way to Nacha Mitzrayim. So Nacha Mitzrayim, that's the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. It's a river running in the southern part of what the Torah considers Eretz Yisrael. So what they captured till Nacha Mitzrayim, there's no such thing as till and not including. It's the same thing. So it doesn't make sense to say that Aza Veskavula means Aza till its border, and Ashkelon till its border. We have a pasuk that says they captured Nacha Mitzrayim. So Lacey doesn't make sense by Nacha Mitzrayim, and even had they captured till there, it means that they captured all the way till the southern border, which would include Ashkelon and Aza. So you show me answer for the question over here, not giving an answer as to how could you think that Ashkelon and Aza are out of Eretz Yisrael. It's so, Ruchaim Kineski in Der Chamuna gives an answer that, this is in Hilchus Shumas, he gives an answer that, if you look in the Pesukim and Navi, he brings many Pesukim and Navi showing that the cities of Aza and Ashkelon went back and forth. They belong to the Yidden and the Goyim, they switched hands many times. So since the capturing of the first basic mission is dependent on people's taking possession and holding on to it. In fact, they were not able to hold on to it. It went back and forth in and out of Jewish hands, and therefore, it's not considered that there was a full kibush on that, even though there was a pasuk that says that at one point they did capture it, but that wasn't permanent, and they didn't truly have full possession of it. Yerushalmi continues, I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi, Ksir, v'yivrach yiftach b'nei echov, v'yesh b'eretz toiv, yiftach, left, and he went to a place called Toiv, to Eretz Toiv, and Yerushalmi says, Zu Susisa, there he went to a place called Susisa, V'lomane Kishmo Toiv, why was it really, it was called Susisa, so why does the Navi refer to it as Toiv? Shapatim and Ramaishis, that place is Patim for Ramaishis, so people considered it good, and that they could eat food without thinking about Ramaishis. Ravimi Boy, so Ravimi asks a question, you're telling me that he went to this place called Susisa, that didn't have Ramaishis, V'lomane Bali. Mimali Misnein, that's the gears that we have to change it to. Mimali Misnein, isn't it one of the places that was captured by the Yidden to the extent that they have to give taxes, they have to give a mas, taxes to the Yidden, and therefore, Sovra of Imi, Kamish Nichbashu, and he thought Rav Imi in asking that question was of the impression that if you have a city in Eretz Yisrael, that the Yidden captured, and the Goyim weren't killed or kicked out, but the Goyim have to pay taxes, that's considered it was a kibush, in which case it was a kibush, it should be chayiv in Meisur, so he's asking, since they're being Mali Misim, so therefore they should be considered to be a part of Eretz Yisrael. Now the next, the Gemara is going to now say, the Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman is going to bring a Raya. The only one of the Mefarshim who explains what the Raya is going to be the Rosh Cerulio, who will only like his pshat. The other, they explain the memra without explaining the raya. So the Rosh Cerulio learns that the Gemara is now answering Rav Imi's question. Rav Imi had asked that it should really be chayiv in Meisur because they captured it to the point that they had to live there. And the Yerushalmi is now answering, no, the answer is that he didn't remember that the Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman said, Shosh parsti giyos shilach yeshu l'eretz Yisrael, actually, you can't chul oretz. Before the Eden came to Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua sent three proclamations to the guy living in Eretz Yisrael, and they were like this. The first one was, Mishul Roitz Liponet Yiponet. First he sent them a proclamation saying, whoever wants to leave, we're coming to take over Eretz Yisrael. Whoever wants to leave, now's your chance, you can leave. Later he sent them another proclamation, Lahashlem Yashlem. Those who want to make peace with us, And it means either they had to be Mekabel Shem Mitzvah B'Noyach, or different versions of what they had to do to be considered to be at peace with Klal Yisrael, and they had to pay taxes, Yashlim, they could do that. The third thing that he said to them was, Lasis Mechami Yaseh, whoever didn't take one of those first two choices, now whoever's left, you want to say and do, make war with us, make war with us. So, before we get further in the Baisa, before we get on, the Rosh Cirilio learns that what happens like this, these three offers were only made, actually, Ikonsulars, only before they crossed the Yad and got into Eretz Yisrael. But once they got into Eretz Yisrael, there were no such options anymore, and anybody who was left had to be killed. There were no options anymore of letting them leave, or letting them make some kind of a peace with Klal Yisrael, and therefore, once the Yidden crossed over to the Yarden, any nation that any, it was only considered that they were, the Yidden had actually made a kibush, that they actually killed everybody. There was no such thing as leaving people around to sit and pay taxes to the Yidden and be considered to be captured, and therefore, this city, Susisa, may have been paying taxes, and in a certain sense, we might have viewed them as being considered captured. They were, you know, they were under the control of Klal Yisrael, but it's not true. That offer was only available before the Eden crossed the Yarden. Once they crossed the Yarden, there's no such offers are available. And so the price now continues and explains Girgashi Pina. The Girgashi took up the first offer and they left. The Hem in Lo Lakadosh Baruch Hu, they trusted that Hashem had said that He was going to give Eretz Yisrael to Yidden. V'halachol Afriki, they went to some place in Africa. That's how they took up. They realized the issue that it was serious, and they left. And that's what it means is when it says, now we're going to bring a pasuk describing Sancheir threatening Klal Yisrael, and he says, you should give up, or else I'm going to do to you like I did to the other nations, and take you out, and send you to a land that's like your land. I'm going to send you to a land that's like your land, that is Zuafriki, that Africa, there's a certain parts of it that are like that. In fact, at the end of that pasuk, Sancheiriv is threatening Klal Yisrael, he said that it's going to be a land, Eretz Dagon V'Tirosh, Eretz Lechem V'Kramim, Eretz Zayis Yitzar V'Dvash, it's going to be a nice land, and so the Girgashi, because they trusted the Hashem, that He was going to really give Eretz to the Yidden, when they ran away to this other country in Africa, they got a land that we see elsewhere in Tanakh, is a land that actually has similarities to Eretz Yisrael, it's a fine land, like similar to certain land to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that's what they got when they ran away. Givonim. Next, Givonim Hishlim. Givonim took up the second offer of what Yahshua had offered people who would be Mashlim, and they was and as we see that from the apostle that mentions Vichi Hishlim Yahshua Givon Yisrael, apostle that says that the people in Givon made a peace with Kaiser. And Shloshim V'Echad Melech, and the 31 other kings that were left, also Muhammad, they chose to stay put and make Muhammad the Nuflu, and eventually they were defeated, and Klal Yisrael beat them, those 31 kings. Okay, so now, that's the end of that piece about the land of Toiv, which is the land of Susisa. Now the Gemara says like this, Neymala Gazru Al-Oysa Ruach Shebegai Dikoi. We had mentioned that in the land towards the south of Ashkelon is considered Chutz La'aretz. So we have an area called Gardika, which is even more south than Ashkelon. So how come that land doesn't have the tumah of Eretz Ha'amim that we've mentioned beforehand that there's a tumah to Chutz La'aretz? How come they didn't make a tumah to the area towards Gardika further south of Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Reb Simon, B'Shem Reb Shuba Levi says, V'nei Shin Niveha Ra. It's not a place that's very pleasant. People don't really want to live there. So therefore, Chazal weren't concerned that anybody would really go there. That the whole gzera of that this term on Chutz La'aretz is to prevent people, to discourage people from going there. But you didn't need that. It wasn't important for this area because nobody would want to live there anyhow. Adhechon. Until where is the place that there's no gzera, there's no tumma in that southern area. So Rav Chanan B'Shem Shul Bar Yitzchak says, Anach HaMatzayim, it goes to the southern area of Eretz Yisrael, to Anach HaMatzayim. Frek the Gemara, V'harei Aza Nivea Yofet. Aza is in that area also, and Aza is a nice place. So how come it is that if they chose to not aser some of that area, not make it tummy, because it's not such a good place to go. So they should have aser, they should have included. So there's two ways to read the next part. My folder reads is that Pishbisha Amar, this person whose name was Pishbisha, said, Kum Rabbi Yossi She'eres Rabbi Acha V'Sharab. In front of Rabbi Yossi, I asked Rabbi Acha whether he thought it was true that Azar should or should not have Tumah of Chutzarts, and V'Sharab said it was correct that it does not have Tumah, so he didn't explain it. We don't know why that place shouldn't have been included. But it's obviously it's correct, and presumably the answer is going to be it's just such a minuscule amount of land, it wasn't worth it. They just said no Tumas Eretz all the way down to Nachum Tzayim. Reb Zira Ozel L'chamsa T'Pachal. Reb Zira was going, the Ma'a followed on that he was going from Bavel to a certain area, and the land of Bavel does not, well, going like the Rosh Shirilio, the land of Bavel and a certain connection from the land above to the Eretz Yisrael, like a path, does not have the Tumah of Chutz Arts, and that's because the Chacham wanted Yidden to be able to go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, where all the yeshivas were. So he was going, according to the Marfulta, he was going from Bavel, and he realized that himself, Yorv Lebar Midikl de Bavel, he was on the outside of either Dikl de Bavel, means a place called Dikl de Bavel, or some palm trees that are Bavel-type palm trees, one or the other, but he was in an area that he was concerned that he had walked out of a path. There's a certain path that he's allowed to go on, a certain strip that he's allowed to walk on, that there's no Tumah of Chutzar on it, as a connection between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. He was concerned that he had gone out of, off the path that he was allowed to. Sholach Shol up here, Barvob, he went to Ask a shayla to Reb Chir Barba, the train between Reb Yasser, or through these two sons of Reb Yasser, Reb Yasser Dedamla. And he says, am I allowed to go here? He wasn't sure, am I allowed to be here? Am I not allowed to be here? Amrle. So these two sons said to him, Nihikin Kahanaya Matya Ataman. It's okay, the Kahanim have a minug that they go until there, and therefore you should know you didn't go too far, you're still in the area that you're allowed to walk on. What about this area of Chuta Dinava? And he said, Rabbi Yochanan said, B'shem Rav Chunya, the Braz, that Chivron, Nahagin Kanaya, Matya, Adarya. But that area, the Kahan will go all the way to Darya, and Vahain Chuta de Butria, the Pradesa, and they go in the strip of Butzria, they go all the way to the Pradesa. So the area where you're asking about, you're in fact allowed to go to. Okay, so the Yerushalmi had just been clearing up some questions about certain areas that you're allowed to or not allowed to, and we're going to continue with that further as to whether you're allowed to go into these places or you're not allowed to go into these places. Okay, Amar Bavo, Yesha Yerusha Kusim Shenogum and Hetem Yemei Yerushua Benun, Vehemutars. The Rav said there are places, there are cities of the Kusim that people treated them as Heter, that from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and we'll learn like the Pnei Moshe and Simon from our folders learning, is that they were not Mafra Shumas Samaisis in those places. The Hematars, and it's true, they're Mutter, there is no Shumas Samaisis in those places. So, Rabbi Yossi asked the question, Mi'ata, lo yachushu kahanam achaloson. If it's true that they're chutzlarts, and that's why they're not, there's no true mitzvah because it's chutzlarts, then the kehanim, when people are mafish chala in those places, then the chala should be considered chala, not a Eretz Yisrael, in which case it shouldn't have to stay tochar. But v'anam, chami rabbon and chashim, we see rabbon who are careful, excuse me, to treat the chala, that make sure that it stays tochar. So what's going on? Is it Eretz Yisrael or is it not Eretz Yisrael? On the one hand, we're saying there's no Trumas and Maishas. On the other hand, people being makbid on Tumah v'Taira for the Chal in that place. If it's Chutz Arutz, then it's automatically Tami. You don't have to be makbid anything on Chala. It's automatically that it's Tami. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi like this. Why begin Milsa, that Amrit? It's not because of the reason that you think. The reason why it was Potter, from true misremembrance, this is not because it's Eretz Yisrael. Really, it is Eretz Yisrael. El begin, the Malchus does not allow, they were not machled, they don't give it to us permanently, And therefore, it's under the control of Goyim, and the Gemara would be going, according to this Pshat, that according to those who hold, that since Goyim are controlling the land is not Chayiv in Trumas and Maisers. And therefore, the reason why it's Patur from Trumas and Maisers is not because it's out of Eretz Yisrael, really it's in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the Makbid about the Challah, but for Trumas and Maisers purposes, it's land that's controlled by the Goyim to the point they don't really let us take control over it, and therefore, it's not Chayim Trumas Maisers. Rabbi Yosi, Shama Dasis email about Rabbi Yosi was in Eretz Yisrael, and he heard that his mother was coming to Butzra, to a city called Butzra. The Yerushalmi is not going to have quite a number of discussions about the city called Butzra. Shama Rabbi Yochanan, Mahal Vatis, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to this city called Butzra? Amalei, so he said to him, if it is a Kanastrachim, if the reason why you want to go to Butzra for your mother is because you're concerned that it's dangerous for her to be in that place, it's a sakana for her to be in that area, then no question that you can go out and make sure your mother stays safe, because it's a question of sakana and you don't have to worry about it. But imishum kavod imcha, if it's not a matter of sakana, but you just want to go give honor and respect to your mother, so any day I'm not sure if you can go out of Eretz Yisrael, if that's a sufficient justification for you to go out of Eretz Yisrael for that. So now, the Gersa we're going to learn with is going to take the next line, and we're going to save it for later. We're going to skip line and come back to this in a second. So, Achachilui, he skipped to the words. He says, Achachilui. So he kept bothering him and saying to him, what do you mean? He wanted to know, am I allowed to go? Am I allowed to go? He said, I don't know if you're allowed to go. So he kept shepherding the Rebbe, saying, tell me, should I go? Should I go to Va'aman? He said, I see you made up your mind you want to go. That's why you keep harassing me, asking me if I can go or not. So Tavu B'Shalom, so fine, you can go and hopefully, and you should come back. He gave him a bracha, you should come back, okay. So now we have a machlokes. Now we can have the words that we had that are printed before in Amar Shum Bar Yitzchak. Rabbi Shum Bar Yitzchak says, Oihi Tzrich Rabbi Yochanan, we would still have to go back to Rabbi Yochanan to ask him if the fact that he gave in the end and told him, Tavu B'Shalom, everything's gonna be okay. Is that because he actually really thought that was the truth, that it was mutter to go there? Or did he maybe say that because you're bothering me so much, so I'll just tell you, so fine, so just go, b'shalom. But he didn't really mean that it was mutter. So we still need Rabbi Yechon to tell us what did he really mean when he said that. But Shomer Rav Lezer heard this, Umar, and he said, as in the word Omar, and he said, this is a very clear permission. If he gave him this bracha, he clearly meant that he's allowed to go there, and there's no question. See, he disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, and he holds that, obviously Rabbi Yochanan holds you're 100% allowed to go to this place, and the place is, it's as if it's Eretz Yisrael. Now, we're not finished with this. The Gemara is going to continue later as to whether Butcher really, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is or is not Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is Shol Rav Chanina. What's the din of someone who buys produce in Amin and Moav? So is it Chayiv in Trumas and Maisers, or another version, is it Chayiv in Shvi'is? Is it considered Eretz Yisrael or it's not considered Eretz Yisrael? So he wants to know, does that land count or not? Amalei, so he responded to him, I did not hear and answered that question from Rabbi Ella, the parshas Ashlan v'Luchot. But all I know is about some halachas about the area of Ashkelon and the surrounding, the area beyond that. So he goes to the kasha. Doesn't really make sense. The Hushal lehada, Umar lehada. He asked him one question. Umar as in for Umar lehada. He said him a different answer. So he asked him about Amun Umar. And he gave an answer about Ashkelon. I mean, who cares about Ashkelon? I mean, Ashkelon is not what his question was. So why would he ask him one question, and he gave him an answer about something that was nothing to do with that? So the Gemara explains, El begin, the lesser of Chanina Amar Mila Zol Shama Min Yarmi. Rav Chanina had a practice that he would never say over a din that he hadn't heard Min Yarmi, from days gone back, and that he hadn't heard from his Rebbe. He would never say him something unless his Rebbe had told him. So therefore, so the answer to the person's question, he didn't know about Amin Amor. We'll begin with Mavkise Reikam, since he didn't want to send the person out empty-handed, he didn't want to tell him nothing. So begin, King Charlie, Hadar, Umagavle, Hadar. So the person answered one question, he answered him a different question, because he just didn't want to say nothing to him. He felt bad to not respond, to teach him something, but he did the answer to his specific question, he couldn't answer because he hadn't heard from his Rebbe. Reb Shimon Lakish, Ozel Butcher. Reb Shimon Lakish went to this to the place Butcher, which we had mentioned before. Ozel Lagabe, people came to him, Amrile, and they said to Reb Shimon Lakish, Chamilon, find for us Barnash, a person who's Darish. He's a Darshan, who'll be able to teach us different Torah. Dayan, he'll be a judge for us. Sapper, a Sofer, Chazan, and he'll be the Chazan HaKnesses, who'll run everything that we need to be done. Other Kot Shulchan, and he'll be the Chazan HaKnesses, he'll be the leader of the shul, and other Kot Shulchan Shulchinon, and he does everything that we need for them. We're looking for someone who has all these different qualifications. We're looking, basically, to hire someone who has all these qualifications to come live in our city. So, Chamachad Bavloi, he saw someone in Bavel, and Amalei, and he said to him, Chamislach Chad Asertov, I found you one good place where you should live. In other words, he found a person in Bavel who had all these qualities, and he said, you know what, I have this great place, you should go to Butra, because where they need someone like just like you. He found the person who met all these, who had all these, who would be a good match for what these people were looking for. Also, Gabriel Abraham, so this person who, Rish Lakish was now encouraging this person to go move to Butzer and take this job. So also came to Rabbi Yochanan. He came to Rabbi Yochanan and said, "Is it, am I allowed to go? Is it mutter to go from Bavel to this place? Because as we had mentioned, you're allowed to go within Bavel, and of course you go to Eretz Yisrael. The question is, am I allowed to go to this place also? Amalei, excuse me, Amalei, I mean Bavel to Bavel." He says, "You can go there. It's like going from Bavel to Bavel, and you, we all know you like to go from Bavel to Bavel, so it's okay. You can go to this place." So Amar Yaakov Bar Abba, or Yaakov Bar Abba, so Yaakov Bar Abba said, "Min mad Amar Rabbi Yochanan, min Bavel to Bavel." It would seem that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said you're going from Bavel to Bavel, Hada Amra Hakayin Hashem in Mischayev, that implies that the city Butzra is not part of Eretz Yisrael, and if you buy produce there, it's not Chayev in Shumas Meishes. That's what it would seem like. So that's one way of reading what Rabbi Yochanan said, is to say Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's not Eretz Yisrael, but it's still Bavel as far as traveling there. Okay, that's not important for us, but it's not Eretz Yisrael, and it's not Chayev in Shumas Meishes. But on the other hand, the Chitzur in Arsul Leil Chisham, there's a city Tzur in a different part of Eretz Yisrael that it's also to go there because it is also to go there. Because it might be considered Eretz Yisrael. Isn't the din that if someone buys produce there, isn't the din that he is chayiv? He's chayiv in Jewish masses because we're not sure whether it's Eretz Yisrael or it's not Eretz Yisrael. So tzur is like this in between place. So maybe that's all Rabbi Yochanan meant. When Rabbi Yochanan said you can go there because it's bubble to bubble, all he meant was like this. It's not clear whether this place Butzra is or is not Eretz Yisrael. We don't know whether it is or is not. And therefore, either it's Eretz Yisrael, and of course you can go there. From Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you for sure can go. Or, at worst, all he meant was that at worst, it's Bavel to Bavel. No, if it's just Bavel to Bavel, then you'll have to go there. If it's Eretz Yisrael, it's even better. So maybe we shouldn't infer from Rabbi Yochanan that he meant to say confidently that it's Bavel. Maybe he meant to say it's at least Bavel, and maybe it's a place that it's unclear whether it's Chayvin Shumas Meishes. So you said, Ashkach Tni, so we found a Braitha that's going to shed light on this, which is like this. Simen L'Amon Moiv Eretz Mitzrayim. We have a Simen, that these three lands, Amon Moiv and Eretz Mitzrayim, Shtei Arotas are two lands, meaning they have two different dinim. Their lands have two different statuses. Achas Nechelos V'Navedis, one of those lands, in it you can eat and work on Shemitah. This is going back on our mission. I said there are three kind of lands. So one of those lands, Amon Moav, that's one, and Mitzrayim. One of those is a place where you can work and eat food in during Shemitah, and has no Shemitah rules at all. And in one you can eat, and you cannot do any work. You're not allowed to do Malacha there, but it either doesn't have the din of Svichin, or doesn't have the din of beer, as we had seen in the Mishnah. So one of them is more strict. It has a little bit of the din of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if that would be true, if there's one of them that has one and one the other, Mitzrayim is further than Amon and Moav. So obviously Amon and Moav are the ones that have the land, that have the din of Ne'achelas v'loy Nevedes, and Mitzrayim is the one that has Ne'achelas v'Nevedes. Okay, so what we just saw is, according to what we're just saying, that Amon and Moav are lands where you're not allowed to do, they have some halachas of Eretz Yisrael, that Lo Neved, it's treated like Shemitah, you're not allowed to work during Shemitah. So Sarah Rabbi Yochanan Meimer, Rabbi Yochanan thought to say, as Betzer Bamidbar, when it says in the Pasuk, in the Torah it says that there's a land called Betzer, in the land of Ammon and Moab, he thought that the land that this city that in his days they called Butzra, was the same as the land that the Torah called Betzer. Betzer and Butzra sound very similar, so he thought that Betzer and Butzra were the same land, in which case, Betzer is Ammon and Moab, and Butzra then is Ammon and Moab, and it has some din of Eretz Yisrael. So that would be one way of thinking that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Butzra really is Eretz Yisrael. But Shaul Rabbi Shimon Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan then spoke to Rabbi Shimon Malkus about whether this is true, is Betzer really Butzra, and he said, now the Gersa we're going to follow is the Gersa of the Gra, that Va'amalei, and he said to him, Betzer lav Butzra. Betzer and Butzra are not the same place. So Rabbi Shimon Malkus told him that Betzer and Butzra are not the same place, in which case, Butzra is now not a place that's in Ammon and Moab, and does not have the din of Eretz Yisrael. So that reflects back on what we said before him, when he said that you can go to Butzra from Bavel, because Butzra really is Bavel. If after he had been learned this from Rish Lakish, after he had learned that Betzer and Butzra are not the same place, so then Butzra is just Bavel, and it does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael at all. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman said the following: Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish saw Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Shimon Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Chanina, what happens if a person buys produce from Ammon and Moab? Is it chayvin from his maizuris? Is it considered part of Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman said over, that that's what Rish Lakish said, and Amalei Kishisei Kum Rabbi Yisa. And I asked about this question of Rabbi Shimon Lakish. I asked Rabbi Yisa, less Ammon and Moab, the Moshe. And he says, why did Rabbi Shimon Lakish even have a question? Ammon and Moab, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't capture it, because it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to start up with Ammon and Moab. We're not allowed to take away their land, and in fact, he didn't. So why would Rabbi Shimon Malkush even think that maybe that land should be chayv in Truma Zemaisis? They didn't even have a kibush or a mitzrayim. We actually weren't even allowed to. And the Ramana, a similar point, because she said, Kumirab Chagya, less Ammon and Moab the Moshe, and the Gersa of the mouthful is less Ammon and Moab the Ezra. In other words, he said, it's the same question. Why does Rish Lakish have a question over here? Ammon and Moab weren't captured by Moshe or by Ezra, and it was never captured at all. So what's the point even of Rish Lakish of this? There are others who have a different Gersa. They learn the way the words in our Gemara say, which is Rabbezer ben Nazariah, which has to do with a Mishnah elsewhere. But the Gersa of Marfold is that of Ezra will learn like that. So Amar Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon. So Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon is going to explain why Rish Lakish even has a question. Ksiv, the pasuk in the Torah that says, "Ki Cheshbon ir Sichon Melech Amorihi," Cheshbon was the city of Sichon, and it means Tzrichah Reb Shimon. That city of Cheshbon that the Yidden did capture, and the end of that pasuk is that Vehu Nilcham Melech Moav Rishon. He fought with the king of Moab. Vayikach has Artem Yodar Arni took away this land from him. So the city of Cheshbon and some cities around there that the Yidden did capture from Sichon was land that used to belong to Moab. So Tzrichah Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon needed to know the following information. Tihar Rami had Sichon V'oi. When Sichon V'oi took it over, did he purify it? Did he make it that land was now considered suitable for Yidden taking over? In which case, when Moshe Rabbeinu took it over, it now became part of Eretz Yisrael. They were allowed to capture that land. It was part of Eretz Yisrael. And it's now Chaim and Shumas Maisis. Or did he maybe, was he not mitahirat? And even though they took it away from him, and they were allowed to, they were sort of allowed to, but still, it was not suitable to be considered Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalmi explains, in Tehma Tihara, if you say that he purified and made it available, Chayavis, then it's Chayav and Shumas Maisis, in Tehma Shlatira Petura, then it's Potter. So the Yerushalmi has now explained what was Rish Lakish's question about HaKonim Ammon Moav. He doesn't mean Ammon Moav, the parts that Klal Yisrael was not allowed to capture. He means it's the parts that they captured because it had been taken over first by Sichon, making it available for the Eden to take from it. Amrav Tanhuma, he says that when the Torah says, Hochel Rosh Lameshes is actually, you should go up to take possession and inherit his land, the Torah is using this unusual word called hochel to tell you, asisius arche chulun lefanecha. It's the hint that I made this land chulun, I made it available for everybody. It used to be, until now, only certain people could have it, meaning Abin Amayev, and now I made it chulun, I made it suitable for everybody, which is making this point that you wanted to say beforehand, to say that by Sichon taking it over, he made it available that Klal Yisrael could then take it away, because they couldn't take it from Amin Amayev directly. Now the Gemara says like this: Rav Huna Bari Mishri Hahen Yavluna. Rav Huna wanted to say that a place called Yavluna should be considered, should be mutter, Mishri, like to be shari. You should make it mutter, meaning it should be considered chutzlarts, and there should be no dinim of trumas or maizes, etc. Asked the Gabra Amon, he came to Amon, Amalei, and he said to him, Halacha, here's a document that states that Yavluna is not chayv in trumas or maizes, chasayim. And please, could you do me a favor and sign onto it to show that you agree with this psak that Yavluna is considered chutzarts? And he was not willing to sign onto it. Lamachar kam imei Reb Chiya bar Madya. The next day, Reb Chiya bar Madya came to Rav Mana, the one who had refused to sign. And now Malay, Yos avarta d'loy chasamta. It's good that you didn't sign on that paper. The Reb Yoina Vucha, your father, Reb Yoina, who the Amar, he's the one who Hava Amar, I'm sorry, Hava Amar, he used to say, Antoninus, Yavol the Rebbe, Antoninus, the Roman king, or the Roman Caesar, gave it to Rebbe, and the deal was, train Alfin Dishnin by Risum, 2,000, either the word is Shnin or Dishnin, it's the same point, 2,000 years that Rebbe would be considered an Aris, a sharecropper on that land. So what it is that Yidden now had rights over that land, but they were not really the owners of the land. They were only sharecroppers in the land. Really, the land continued to belong to the Goyim. Lefikach, therefore, that land has a din. That land has a din like Syria, and the din is Ne'achal Avloy Ne'avad. It has like the din of the middle status, like the middle things in our Mishnah, which is you can eat them, and there's no din of Srichin, or there's no din of Beer. But you can't work on that land. It's also to work on the land on Shvias. It's considered to be a kibush yachid, a captured not by all clients, or that has a special status. So therefore, you should not have, you're right that you didn't sign on to it, that it's not like Eretz Yisrael, because in one way it is like Eretz Yisrael, kisuria, like Syria. Upatim in Amaishas, but even though we're saying it has a little bit of a deal like Syria, it's patim from Amaishas, mipnei, sheiks. In Syria, you chayv ma'aser because Yidden lived there. But in this land, Yidden do not live there. They're only there as arisim, as sharecroppers. So therefore, it's part of the ma'aser. So it's very much like chutz aretz, but not completely, because for the din of Shvi'is, you now have to work on that land in Shvi'is. Now the Gemara is going on the part of the mission where the mission said, Kosher Zig Oil Mitzrayim, any land that the Oil Mitzrayim captured, Mikizev Yadanar Vadamona, Nechal Avoy Neva. This is land that only was captured by Ur Mitzrayim and not by Ur Lebavel, which is described as from being from Kziv to Nahar and to Amona, that is Nechav Avon Nechav. So the Gemara, the Yishalmi says this, Rafun Amar, Kaini Masli said, if you want to understand the Mishnah, the correct way to understand it is following. Before we say what it means, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that the border goes from Kziv to the Nahar and then continues on until Amona. That it's a Mikizev, I don't know about Amona. So Rav Huna says that's not the right way to read it. Really, what the Mishnah means is Mikizev, I don't know, and Mikizev, I don't know. It means, what it says is, when the Mishnah says you go from Kziv to the Nahar until Amona, Kziv is the center point. And it says from Kziv, you can go out of Nahar and out of Amona in two different directions. One direction is to the Nahar, one direction is to Amona. That describes the land, Hechzik Oil Mitzrayim, and not that you go from Kaziv to the Nahar and then to that one. Okay, now the words like this. To me, Ezi Arts, Ezi Chutz Arts, in this northern border, which has, where Amona is the northern, we can assume to the northwestern border of Eretz Yisrael, it's a northern western border on, it's a mountainous area, the mountains of Amona in the northwest corner of Eretz Yisrael. And if you say kosher shefer, mituri amon v'lefnim, any part of the mountain that slopes down from the peaks of the mountains of Amona towards the inside of Eretz Yisrael, that's Eretz Yisrael. That's considered Eretz Yisrael. Mituri amon v'lechutz chutz aretz, from turi amon to the outside, meaning to the north, that's considered chutz aretz. So the peaks of the turi amon is the border of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the next thing says hanisim shebayam, the islands that are in the ocean, in the river, in the Yam. That is to say this, the western border of Eretz Yisrael is the Mediterranean Sea, what we call here the Yam, and the northern, the northwestern border is Turi Amana, the mountains of Amana. The southwestern border is called Nahal Mitzrayim, a certain river that's referred to as the River of Mitzrayim. So those are, that's the northwestern border and the southwestern border of Eretz Yisrael. But the actual Mediterranean continues in further. It has indents further beyond that. So Hanisim Shabayam, the islands that are in the Mediterranean, as at Royason Kiilu Chut Matuach Maturi Amanu at Nachal Mitzrayim, you have an imaginary line going from the mountains of Amana till Nachal Mitzrayim. That's going from north to south along the west. Anything that's on the eastern part of that line, on the inner side of that line, of that imaginary line, Eretz Yisrael. That's good. Any islands in that area is considered Eretz Yisrael. So you draw this line, this straight line, from Turi Amana until Nachal Mitzrayim, and there's water. The eastern part of that line has water because the water continues further in. That's considered Eretz Yisrael. Anything on the western side of that line, outside of that line, is considered Chutz Arutz. Any islands out there are not Eretz Yisrael. But Rebbe Yehuda says, no, it's even more. Kol shu kineged Eretz Yisrael, haru k'Eretz Yisrael. Anything that's perpendicular, or opposite, across from Eretz Yisrael, in the Yam, in the Mediterranean, haru k'Eretz Yisrael, that it has the status of Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Gvul Yam, the border is on the Yam, V'hoyol lecham ha-Yam ha-Gadol Gvul, and then it has these extra words. It says, you should know, and the Yam ha-Gadol, the west, the Mediterranean, will be your border. Those extra words, those words are extra. It already said the Gvul is the Yam, the border is the sea. So the extra words are to teach you that the border stretches into the entire Mediterranean. And what it means is like this, the Hanisim Shebet Stav, that's the gears that we have, the islands that are on the sides, Adroyason Kivu Chut Matuach, you act as if there's a line stretching out, an imaginary line stretching out, Mikaplaria, that's a city that's in Turi Amana, going from a Kaplaria, Varu Kainis, it stretches from Kaplaria west, all the way till it hits the ocean, till it hits the Atlantic, meaning all the way across the Mediterranean, west, all the way across till it hits the ocean, and we do this mechut v'lefnim Eretz Yisrael, and anything that's on the inner side, the southern side of that line, is considered Eretz Yisrael mechut v'lechut. Anything on the outside of that line, meaning the north of that line, is considered chutzart. And you do the same according to Rabbi Yehuda from the Nachal Mitzrayim. You also make a line from Nachal Mitzrayim straight across till you hit the Atlantic. And anything on the inside of that line, meaning on that southern line. Anything north of that line is Eretz Yisrael. Any islands north of Eretz Yisrael. Anything south of that is Chutz Arutz. And now the Yerushalmi ends off. We had mentioned that Turi Amana, the mountains of Amana, are the border of Eretz Yisrael. Omar Vyusta Barshunam. Vyusta Barshunam says, "Cheshegiu haGolis Turi Amana." When the Klal Yisrael will come from Golis and will head from the north, meaning coming from Europe down to Eretz Yisrael. The first part, the place they're going to reach is Amana, because that's the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. And I see this little Shira, they're going to say Shira when they reach that point, out of joy of reaching Eretz Yisrael, coming back from Golis Matan. And how do I know that? What's the source that they're going to sing Shira when they get there? Because it says in the Pasuk in Shira, Shirim Tashuri in Rosh Amana, they're going to, and we're darshing the word Tashuri from the word of Shira. The Tashuri you'll sing when you hit the peaks of Amana. So, and that's referring to when Klal Yisrael comes back from Golis, when they're going to come down from Europe down to that spot, when they hit their first spot of Eretz Yisrael, at that point they're going to say Shira out of the joy of coming back from Golis.